with you this morning. Glad to see all of you that are here. Glad to have my family with me this morning, and pray that God will bless us as we look into His Word this morning. Go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 34. I want to speak about the goodness of God this morning. The goodness of God. We just sang about it. The Lord has been so good to me. And I believe that this morning I stand here and I confess with the songwriter and admit that the Lord has been good to me, better than I could have ever asked for or even imagined. He's been so good to me, and God is a good God to all, and He is a good God especially to His people. And we'll look at that this morning. But here in Psalm chapter 34, let's start reading in verse 1. This is a psalm of David. It says in Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were enlightened, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. So David says that we should bless the Lord at all times, and His praise should continually be in our mouths. And I pray that that is the case with you, and I pray it is the case with me, that is, if you were to look at my life, that you would see a man who would be continually praising God, continually blessing His holy name for all that He has done for me. We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be thankful for, not only with the natural blessings of this life that He's given us, and He does give us, but much more than that, if we are the children of God, we have so much to be thankful for in how God has been good to us in saving us. That is the most important thing that we have, is the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We should never take it for granted. We should never get tired of it. It should be the most important thing each and every day of our life as we wake up, and each and every day as we go to bed, that we are thinking about and praising God for His goodness. And David's prayer in verse 8 was that those that would read his psalm and those that he would be around, he says that they would taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in Him. So let's consider just a little while again this morning the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. He is a good God. So first of all, it would do good for us to define what we're talking about when we say that the Lord is good, right? So if we're going to bless His holy name and His praise is going to continually be in my mouth, and if we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good, we need to understand what this means. First of all, Wayne Grudem defined God's goodness as It means that God is the final standard of good, and that all that God is and all that He does is worthy of approval. So God is the final standard of good, and all that God does and all that God is worthy of approval. So when we speak about God being good, it is not simply just that He does good or that He does good deeds. God is good in his nature. He is good. It is who He is. It is essential to God. It is a part of His character. So when we speak about the attributes of God, they're not just things that God does, but they are who God is. When we speak about God's love, God is love. When we speak about holiness of God, we're talking about that God is holiness. And therefore, He acts in love. Therefore, He acts in holiness, because that is who He is. It is just part of who He is. Now, it is not part of who we are. We have to consciously make the effort to love. We have to consciously make the effort to be holy. We are not love. We are not holy. But God is. And all the attributes, all the characteristics that we have that are a part of us, they come from God. And so even if you would say of another person, they're good or they do good, that comes from God. It comes from His character and His nature. God is good. John Gill would say, our Jehovah, the true God, is superlatively good, good in the highest degree, good beyond all conception and expression. That God loves any of His creatures in the manner He does, bestows favor upon them, shows mercy to them, and bears much with them, is owing to the goodness of God. So the fact that God even loves us, the fact that God even cares about us, the fact that He even has forgiven us of our sins, the fact that He bears much with us and is patient with us, the fact that He has saved us by His grace, is owing to the fact that He's a good God. He's a good God. Because if He was just a just God, if He was just a holy God, none of you would experience the love and the mercy and the grace and the peace of God. You wouldn't experience that today. If God was just holy and God was just just. But He is also good. And we love that about Him. We love that He's a holy God and He's a just God. But we love it even more that He is a good God. And that from His goodness flows mercy and grace and patience toward His creatures. So Gill would go on to say, if you read in his book of deity, the book of concise theology, he would go on to have 8 different points about the goodness of God. But I won't obviously go into all of those, but I want to read you some of what he says. Goodness is essential to God. Goodness only belongs to God. There is nothing but goodness in God. God is infinitely good. So when we're talking about God's goodness, it's not something that's going to run out. It's not something that He's short on. God is an eternal God, so all of His attributes are eternal. And all of His attributes are infinite. So when we're talking about His goodness, this is something that will continue on forever and ever. And so there's never going to be a point in your life where God's goodness runs out on you. Isn't that encouraging and a blessing to understand and know? Certainly is to me. God is immutably and eternally good. So His goodness is not going to change at all. God is good and He does good. And each person in the divine Godhead is good. So God the Father is good. God the Holy Spirit is good. And God the Son, ultimately we know, is our only good. So we find this all over the Scriptures. Let's turn to a few places this morning just to establish this truth that God is good. And this is something we need to think about all the time. David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in Him." In Psalm 86, verse 5, he says, "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Him, that call upon Thee." So David said, "Lord, You are good. You are good. You are a good God. It is essential to who You are. And it is Your character." And he says, these are some of the things that flow from Your goodness. You're ready to forgive. You're plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon You. How about that? That this God who is holy, and this God who is just, and this God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and this God who man has sinned against, it tells us about Him, because He is a good God, it says He is ready to forgive. How about that? Isn't that amazing? That this holy and just God, that He can be ready to forgive sinners. That He can be ready to forgive those who do wrong against Him. And it says He's plenteous in mercy. God doesn't run out of mercy at all. He's plenteous in it. Psalm chapter 100. This psalm talks about us singing and making a joyful noise unto the Lord because we have joy. What gives us this joy that we want to sing to the Lord about? Now make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why all this singing and why all this joy and why all this blessing in the name of God? He says, for, or the reason, because of, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. So that's why you came here this morning. That's why you come every time that you can to the house of God. That's why you sing to God in your car from to and from wherever you're going. That's why you sing and have worship even at home, is because God is good. God is good, and He has been good to you. And His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations, even to our generation today. We're living in a new generation, and God's mercy and God's truth has been bestowed upon this generation. And so we are blessing and worshiping God for His goodness. One of the most beautiful passages in all of the Old Testament, and certainly in the books of the law, is found in Exodus chapter 34. Moses wanted to see the glory of God, but he didn't understand what he asked for, because no man can see God and live. No man can see His glory and even be able to withstand just a small portion of it. So what God did was He veiled Himself in a way. But God appeared to Moses, and this is what He says, and this is one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Old Testament, because it talks about who God is, God's character, God's attributes. It says in verse 5 of Exodus 34, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed." Okay, so this is who God is. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So God revealed Himself and who He is to Moses. And one of the things that God revealed to Moses about Himself was that He was abundant in goodness. He was abundant in goodness. He is abundantly good God. You know, when you're talking about me and you're talking about you, we can say that there is some good in us, right? There is some good in us. You see some good in me from time to time, but what do you also see from time to time? You see some bad. You see some evil. You see some sin. But in God, you don't see any of that. You don't see any evil in God. You don't see any bad in God. You never see Him, you know, lose His temper. You never see Him lash out in anger in the wrong way. God is abundantly good, and there is only goodness in God. And that's what this says here. He is abundant in goodness and in truth. And we see all the things that flow from the fact that He's good, a good God. Mercy, He says. Grace. Long-suffering. And we'll talk about some of these things in a minute. Abundant in goodness and truth. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. How wonderful these things are to us as sinful human beings. The fact that God, the God of glory, can forgive us of our iniquity and our sins. Oh, how good He is to us. Psalm 106. We're just looking at a few scriptures that talk about His goodness. In this psalm, he says, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord." So again, we're praising, we're giving thanks. That's why we came here, to give thanks unto God for all that He has done for us, to praise His name in worship, in singing, and the preaching of the Word. It's all about Him. It's all about praising His goodness. We're not here to celebrate ourselves. We're not here to celebrate the goodness of the preacher, because you need to leave if that's what it's about. We are here to celebrate about the goodness of God and His goodness to us. And that's why he says, for, why praise the Lord? Why give thanks unto the Lord? For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, and who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So why are we praising? Why are we giving thanks? For the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. A man would come to Jesus and he would ask him a question. He would say, "Good Master, what must I do to, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" It's an interesting question, wasn't it? First of all, he said, "Good Master." The second thing was, he said, "What good thing can I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And this was Jesus' response. This was Matthew 19, verse 16 and 17. "And he said unto them, Why callest thou me good?" Why do you call me good? He said, "Good Master." He says, "There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. Okay? So he answered his question by asking him a question. And he said, "Why did you call me good?" And the reason he said that was, is because he says that there is only one that is good. And he says, that's God. So what you're saying when you call me good Master is you're saying, I am God. Because there is only one that is good, and that is God. So he was pointing to him out that he was indeed God manifest in the flesh, and he was the goodness of God come into earth. And so God is good, and we've seen that in the Scriptures. But not only is God is good in his character, number one, but number two, God does good. God is good, and because he is a good God, he does good. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created all the things within the earth. He created everything that exists. It says that when he looked at all that he had created, what did God say? He says that God looked over all that he had made, and it was very good. That's because God is good, and so what he creates is going to be good. And all that God created was good and very good because it was something that God did. What God does is good. And if you read in Psalm 119, David just makes a very plain statement that kind of just wraps it all up for us in one verse about that God is good and that God does good. And I put this to memory and I try to think about it every day. Psalm 119, verse 68. "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Can you say that this morning? Can you give an amen to that verse? That God is good and that he does good. And what we pray is, "Teach me. Teach me your statutes. Teach me the word. Help me to know your word more. Help me to know you more so that I can just see your goodness more and that I can be more like you, that I can be good as you are good." That is our prayer this morning. Everything good that we have in this world comes from God. Because God is good and he is the one who alone does good, every good thing that we have, every good thing that you have, every good thing in this world, it comes from God. And James would make that very clear in his letter, James chapter 1. He would say in verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So he says every good gift, every perfect thing, it comes down from above and it comes from God. So every good thing that we have is from God. You know, the Scriptures teach about how that God is so good that he even sends the rain on the just and the unjust, right? God is good to all his creatures. God is good to all in that he gives them breath and he gives them life and he gives them clothing and he gives them food and he gives them shelter and he gives them, you know, family and he gives them children. God is so good to all his creation. And God should be praised for that alone. God should be worshipped for that alone. God should be worshipped because he's God and God alone. If he just took out the salvation in which he has accomplished through his Son Jesus Christ, he should be worshipped just alone for being God and for being good to us, to allow us to live here and to allow us all the enjoyments of this life. He is good. But he is even more good to his children. It goes beyond just the natural blessings of this life, right? We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our friends. You know, I'm grateful for food. I love food. I love to eat. You know, you just got to be honest. We love to eat. We love to enjoy the things of this life. You know, I enjoy sports. I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy to watch it. I enjoy to read about it. I enjoy to play it. But it goes beyond that for me. You know, it doesn't go beyond that for a lot of people in this world. That's all that they care about. And they aren't thankful to God for one thing. But it should be much more so with us. If we are the children of God, if we believe that He is a good God, it should be more than that for us. The main thing that we're thankful for, above all the natural blessings of this life, is the salvation that He has brought to us through Christ Jesus. That He has saved us from our sins, and that we have a hope of eternal life. We have a hope of a life beyond this world. So everything good comes from God, including the salvation that is brought to us in Christ. And I love what it says in Psalm 84, verse 11. This is such a comforting and wonderful truth. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord who will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Isn't that amazing? God's not going to withhold any good thing from you if you're one who's walking in obedience and submission to Him and to His will. If you're walking uprightly before Him, there's not going to be any good thing. Remember, God is the one who knows what's good. God is the one who knows what you need for your life. And so if you're walking before Him, hey, it may be trials. It may be suffering. It may be persecutions. But in the eyes of God, it's what's ultimately good for you, right? Because Romans 8:28 says, For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So even if it's suffering, even if it's trials, even if it's a rejection of, you know, family, whatever it might be, a loss of a job, ultimately God knows what's good for us. And this verse says, He will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And He will work all things together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So God is good, God does good, and God, everything good comes from God. Now when we think about God's goodness, there are a lot of things that flow from His goodness. And there's really four things specifically when you're thinking about it in terms of theology that flow from God's goodness, and that's His love, His grace, His mercy, and His patience. And I want to talk about three of those this morning real quickly. I want to talk about His mercy, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the patience of God, or the long-suffering of God. In Wayne Grudem's definition of the goodness of God, he even goes on to say that mercy is God's goodness toward those in misery and distress. God's goodness to those in misery and distress. God's grace is God's goodness toward those who deserve only punishment. God's goodness to those who deserve only punishment. And God's patience is God's goodness in withholding of punishment toward those who sin over a period of time. So God is good to us. And He bestows His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering upon us. So let's look first how that God's goodness is shown through His mercy. We saw already in Exodus chapter 34 that it said that God is merciful, and then it said that He keeps mercy for thousands. Keeps mercy for thousands. God is a merciful God. He is one who comforts us in our misery, in our times of misery, in our times of even times of suffering and times of pain. He comes and He bestows His comfort upon us. Psalm 103 is a wonderful psalm. And it starts out in such a wonderful way. It says that we should bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So that's what we're trying to do this morning. We're coming, we're blessing God with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and we're trying not to forget all of His benefits to us. He says, why? Because this is the God that you serve right here. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeems thy life from destruction? Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Tender mercies. He comes to you in your times of misery and distress, and He comforts you with His tender mercy. Even though all you really deserve is what you get. You know, that's what it comes down to. Really, you get what you deserve. But the mercy of God is such is that He bestows His goodness upon you, even in your times when you deserve misery and distress. He comes and He gives you His comfort and His grace and His tender mercies. David would say in 2 Samuel chapter 24, in verse 14, David was repenting after he had numbered the people of Israel, which had displeased the Lord. And there were some consequences because he did that. But he understood that God was a merciful God. And in verse 14, it says, "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." So what man is going to give you is what you deserve, right? What man is going to get you is what He wants to give you of Himself, which isn't going to be mercy. It's going to be justice. But God, David said, let us fall into the hands of the Lord. Why? Because His mercies are great. If we're going to fall into somebody's hands, we want to fall into the hands of a merciful God. Merciful God. Because He is kind and merciful. And Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians, in the very first chapter, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." So he says God is the Father of mercies, and one of the ways that we see His mercy in our lives is the comfort that He gives us in time of tribulation, in the time of suffering. Have you ever experienced that? You're going through suffering, you're going through a hard time, a tribulation, a loss of a family member, a loss of life, loss of a job, a loss of, you know, a friend, whatever it may be. God comes alongside of you and He has mercy upon you in your misery and your affliction. And He comforts you and gives you strength like no one else can. And He says, we're to take that comfort that we received of God, and we're to comfort others by the same way in which we have been comforted of God. So what it tells us is that we're to be merciful unto other people, like God has been merciful unto us. So what about you? When you see others suffering, when you see others going through trial and affliction, what do you do? Do you stand in judgment against them and say they deserve what they're getting? Or do you go alongside of them and you comfort them and you point them to God and God's Word and comfort them with the same comfort that you have been comforted with? That's how we should be. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Right? So if you're merciful unto others, you're one who's showing the goodness of God by having mercy on other people, you will be one who will experience that mercy of God. So God's goodness is shown to us in His mercy. Second of all, God's mercy is shown to us in His grace. The passage in Exodus 34, verse 6, that says, "The Lord is gracious." The Lord is gracious. His goodness to us when we only deserve punishment. The grace of God, that unmerited favor. And really, it's demerited favor. We have gone astray. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all fulfilled the lust of our own flesh. So it's not just unmerited favor, it's demerited favor. What we deserve, really, is the justice of God. We deserve the wrath of God. That's what we deserve. But instead of the wrath and justice of God, we have gotten the grace of God. We have gotten forgiveness of sins. Romans is such a wonderful book, and it's laid out in such a wonderful way. And it's really the gospel of Jesus Christ. He starts out in chapter 1, and he shows that how all people are accountable to God. You know, he even said that the very nature reveals the Godhead. You know? He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All man is accountable to God. All man is supposed to give glory to God and praise Him for His goodness. But not all men do. Why? Because all men are sinners. And that's what he goes on to show. All men are sinners. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All are righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. He would go on to describe our sins in Romans chapter 3. You know, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a description of us all by nature. You know, some of us would like to think that we're better than other people. But in the eyes of God, without His grace being bestowed upon us, we are all in this category. We are unrighteous. We are unholy. We are rebels. We are rebellious. We are disobedient. We are of this world. But the wonderful thing about the goodness of God and His grace is that even though we deserve punishment and even though we are sinners, He has provided a remedy. He has provided a means that we may have peace with God. And He comes down and He says in verse 21, But now, even though we are sinners who deserve punishment, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what a wonderful thing that we believe in this morning and that the Scripture teaches us is that even though all sinners deserve is the wrath of a holy God for all eternity, all we deserve is punishment for our sins. The Scripture tells us because of what Christ has done and because what God has done through Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins. We can have peace with God, and we can be declared righteous and holy before this God through Jesus Christ. That's grace. That's grace. Even though what you deserve is punishment, God has given you forgiveness and acceptance and peace and being declared righteous before Him. And then he would go on to say in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which only which is of the law, but to that which also is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So he says it's of faith because it's by grace that we're saved, not through works of the law or the deeds of the law, but it's by faith in what Christ has done and through Christ alone for our salvation, and it is by the grace of God. And then he would say that again in Romans chapter 11. He said, verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So the very election of God, His very choosing of certain individuals out of the human race to be saved. It wasn't according to their good works. It wasn't according to something that God foresaw in them, but it was according to grace and grace alone that He would decide to save them instead of punish them. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So, if you're trying to earn God's favor by doing good works, He says it's no more of grace. It's no more of grace. Don't try to do that. Rest in the goodness of God through grace. Paul's own testimony about himself and everything that he had done, everything that God did through him. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So not only has it been by God's grace that He saved you, it's by God's continual grace, His continual goodness on your life, each and every day of your life, that helps you to be able to do anything to the praise and glory of His name. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He says, yes, I've labored more abundantly than they all, but He says, not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. So when you come down to the end of your life, you're going to say, it's all been by the grace of God. Whatever I've done, whatever has been done through me, through God, has all been by the grace of God, and all according to His goodness. You know, and he would say when he was writing to the Ephesians that their salvation, the salvation which they have experienced, it is all because of the grace of God. It is not something that they did. It is not something that God saw in them. But he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By grace. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of His grace. Oh, the fact that God has saved you from your sins. The fact that you've been forgiven. The fact that you have a hope that you will one day see Him face to face. The fact that this life will one day be over for you, but you have hope of an eternal life that goes beyond this world. It is all because of the exceeding riches of His grace. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. So, we've seen the goodness of God through the mercy of God. We've seen the goodness of God through the grace of God. And then lastly, this morning, let's see the goodness of God through His patience, through His long-suffering. Psalm 145. God is a patient God. And God is a long-suffering God. And I'm sure, just like me, that many of you have experienced this in your life. You know, even when God saves us and God grants unto us the Holy Spirit, we still fall. We still struggle with sin. We still sometimes become disobedient and go astray. But does God react in anger? Does God react in hatred toward us? Does He give up on us? Does He let go of us? He doesn't. Why? Because He's good. He's a good God, and through His goodness is this attribute of being long-suffering, being patient with us. And it is a characteristic which we should strive for in our life. Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Slow to anger means that God is long-suffering, that He is patient with us. You also find this truth spoken of in the book of Nahum, who was one of the minor prophets. He spoke about the destruction of Nineveh, but in Nahum chapter 1, he starts out, verse 1, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries and He reserves wrath for His enemies. So this is the truth about God. God is a jealous God and God will have His vengeance upon His enemies and upon all those who do wrong. And then it says in verse 3 though, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. So even though God is a jealous God, and God is a vengeful God, in the fact that He will have vengeance on His adversaries, it tells us that He is also a long-suffering God, and He is patient with His people. His own testimony would be, considering and thinking about the long-suffering and patience of God, he would say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, talking about his own testimony and how that God had had grace and mercy upon him, says that in verse 12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And listen to this. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. And then he ends, he talked about the grace and the love and the mercy and the long suffering of God. He ends, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We owe so much to the goodness of this God, and that He has shown us His mercy, and that He has shown us His grace, and that He has shown us His patience and His long-suffering. Our prayer should be the same as Paul's. Now to Him be honor and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen. So, there are many other passages we could look at on this subject. But ultimately, when we look at things and when we think about all of these truths about God's goodness, the only reason, brothers and sisters, that we experience this goodness, the only reason that we experience this grace and this mercy and the patience and love of God is because of one person. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus in the picture, without Jesus in the mix, none of this goodness, none of this grace, mercy, and love and patience of God would ever be bestowed upon you. You would never experience it without the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only and ultimate good. And that's why it tells us, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith upon Him and Him alone for your salvation. Because without Him, and if it's not through Him, you won't experience it. You won't know what it is to be saved. You won't know what it is to have the mercy and grace and love and patience of God bestowed upon you outside of this Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, believe upon Him. Place your faith in Him. Trust Him alone for your salvation. And so I would point you to Jesus Christ this morning in closing, that He is the ultimate and only good that you will find in this life. He is full of grace and truth. That's what John said in John 1:14. He said, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6:35, Jesus said of Himself, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger." He said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 10, verse 7, He said, "I am the door of the sheep." In John chapter 10, verse 11, He said, "I am the good shepherd." In John chapter 11, verse 25, He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John chapter 15, He says, "I am the true vine." And He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine." In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 8 and verse 17 and 18, He says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end." So I point you to Jesus Christ as your only source of goodness. Don't think when you come down to the end of your life, don't think when you stand before God on Judgment Day that you're going to say, "Oh, look at my good deeds. Look how I gave to the poor. Look how I went to church. Look how I was good to my brothers and sisters. Look how I obeyed my parents." None of that will matter on Judgment Day. You're not going to bring money to the table either, because the Scriptures tells us that riches profit not in the day of wrath. There's only one thing that you'll be able to plead, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of God. So we thank God and praise God for His goodness to us. Thank you for your kind attention. May God bless you.